standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I want to ask you to pray for Brother Frankie Bryant and his church today. They've been through some great flight of afflictions and had some real backsets in their church families. It's my understanding they're going to go ahead and try to have their camp meeting in October. But Brother Matthias, I spoke with him this morning. He had just got off the phone with Brother Frankie. And he tells me that, you know, you don't know this, but they have Saturday night service down there. Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And, in fact, I preached Saturday night the last 2 years when we went to Mexico there. And Brother Matthias said that Frankie told him that last night in the service, they just come in, sung a hymn or two, and the spirit of the people was so low that he just told them to go on home, come back on this morning, and they'd try to get a hold of God there in the morning hour this morning. And you don't know what it'd be like unless your home's been destroyed or partially destroyed, or you've been without water or electricity for weeks, phone service without several days, and maybe had to cook on a camping stove. It's fun to grill occasionally, but I certainly wouldn't want to try to cook a pot roast on a grill. Be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? It's all right for hamburgers and hot dogs, but I'm going to tell you something. Them pork roast and chicken fajitas, things like that, kind of hard on a grill. And so I want you to pray for Brother Frankie and his people, if you would, please. Now I want to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm chapter number 80. Psalm and chapter number 80 and verse number 1. The Lord spoke to my heart out of this verse. I'll say very little about the verse, but I will preach the message that God gave me from the verse that I hope will be an encouragement to us here today in the Lord's house. Psalm 80 and verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." Now that's all the reading I'm going to do this morning. May the Lord add His blessing to that reading. We'll try to pray and bring the thought that God has laid upon my heart. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the morning hour and how You've blessed my heart already. The Sunday school hour, the song service, they've been rewarding to me today. And I thank You so much for meeting my heart and me in my place of need. I thank You, Lord, for Thy people today and the privilege that You've given us to assemble, to worship, to offer praise unto Thee. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You've given today, the thought from the text. I pray that You'll take it and bless it to every heart to strengthen Your people and help them. I pray, Lord, that we'll find a little water in the wilderness today. I pray, Lord, that You'll speak from heaven, that our hearts might receive that which is in need of today. I ask You to save someone, to revive the church, bless the people. I do pray for Brother Bryant and his people there in Mississippi. Lord, for Brother LaRue Hill, I pray for him and his people. That God, that You would help them and bless them through this day. Help them, Lord, not only through the day, but to overcome the affliction that they found themselves in, the turmoil, the calamity of life. I pray today now, Lord, that Jesus would be magnified and our people would find great grace. I ask You to anoint this preacher with power and liberty today. Unctionize me. Help me to preach, Lord, to the glory and honor of God in a wonderful way this day for Your people. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. I was reading in the book of Psalms. I'm reading back through the Word of God again and in my daily devotions. I came to Psalm number 80 one day last week, and the psalmist said there in the first part of this verse, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel." Now notice this next phrase that the psalmist puts here, "Thou that leadest Israel like a flock." Thou that leadest Israel by, like a flock. Now, it's just common sense to believe that if he led them like a flock, then they were following him. And I want to take that thought there this morning and preach for a little while to you on the thought of follow the leader. I believe that our Lord is the leader, and we ought to be following him in whatever direction he may lead us. Whichever way that his footprints lead, we ought to fall in line and follow those footprints of Jesus that make our pathway glow. And I wonder this morning, maybe if the reason we're facing some of the struggles in our Christian life that we are, is maybe we're not following in his footsteps. I believe there's a book out entitled Follow in His Steps or In His Steps, something to that effect. And ladies and gentlemen, unless we follow our Lord Jesus, we'll wind up in places in our life that is certainly not conducive to a joyful Christian experience, and will not be real conducive to our family life nor the church life. But the psalmist said here, said, give ear, I've got something to say, I've got something to require of thee. And he addresses him as the shepherd of Israel, and that shepherd led Joseph like a flock. Now, as far as I know, since the days of Israel, the relationship of Christ and his people have been likened to the shepherd and his flock. That's right. We are the sheep of his pasture. And there is a marvelous relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, ladies and gentlemen. A very intimate relationship. It would do you well to study the life of a shepherd. It would do you well to study the longevity and the life of sheep. And to study out the relationship that that shepherd has with his sheep. You would find that in a most marvelous way, that you and I follow along that pattern of a sheep as he follows his shepherd. And even so should you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the sheep of his pasture. Now the word shepherd there, the way it's used here, has at least three primary meanings. And one of those is to pasture. The shepherd is to pasture us. Isn't it marvelous how David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, how God took him from the sheep coats and from following the sheep to make him a leader in Israel. And David wrote much about the life of a shepherd in regards our relationship to his sheep. And he realized that one of those chores or duties of that shepherd boy was to make sure that his sheep found grazing land, that they found pasture. It is no wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that David said in Psalm 23 that he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Now, somebody may say, Brother Hall, we're certainly not getting all the grazing we need when we come to the house of God. Well, I hope you don't need spoon-fed all your life. I hope that you're spiritual enough that you can follow the Lord in your private devotions to that grassy mountain pasture where the Lord can feed and nourish your soul. I say to you, church, you've got to have more grazing land than what I can give you 3 hours a week. You've got to have more pasture land than what I can give you in 3 hours a week. But I'm telling you, the Lord never fails to even prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. God's able to grace our lives, ladies and gentlemen, and open up this blessed book that we call the Bible and enable us to dine with Him in green pastures that will strengthen our soul and bless our life and nourish us spiritually, enabling us to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Now, I want to say, secondly, that word not only means to pasture, but it also means to rule. A shepherd will always rule over his sheep. Now I want you to hear me well. I go back to Psalm 23. David did not say the Lord is trying to be my shepherd. He did not say the Lord might be my shepherd. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And ladies and gentlemen, that word Lord means master. Now I'm telling you, if the Lord Jesus is not the master of your life, you're in serious trouble with Him today. I'll tell you, He'll be Lord over all, or He will not be Lord at all in your life. Somebody said, I'm saved, but I ain't made Him Lord yet. You need to throw Curtis Hudson's book down the drain and read your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, and get something from that book. I got a letter in the mail. I looked at it in there yesterday when I came over for prayer meeting. It was from a ministry somewhere in Tennessee. I don't even remember the name of it. But the man wrote a big long letter, and then at the bottom of it, he said, we will not solicit money from those who do not believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I said, well, that sounds pretty good. Then he said, we will not solicit money from those that embrace the 5 points of Calvinism. Well, I'm floating on that one a little, I guess. I'd have given a little benefit of the doubt. But the third thing that he said really got my attention. He said, we will not solicit money from those that propagate the doctrine of lordship salvation. I took the letter and thrown it in the trash. Because I'm telling you, you're looking at a man that propagates lordship salvation. The Lord, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. David said, He's my shepherd. He knows where how to lead me and where to lead me, not only beside still waters, but He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He is the Lord of my life. He is in control of my life. He is leading my life, and all the responsibility I have is to follow Him. Amen. See, that ought to be simple for us. Amen. He's made it so simple that all we have to do is follow Him. Amen. And He'll lead us. Now, the third, boy, I like this third one. The third definition of that word means to associate with in a loving and a caring way. Amen. And may I say, the sheep live by the shepherd. Amen. We live by the shepherd. And the shepherd lives of the sheep. Now, you'll get a hold of that after a while. Thank God. Hey, come on in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, He leads us in a loving and in a caring way. Thank be unto God. And we have our very life. Our very life is wrapped up in Him. In Him we have our life and our very being. But I'm telling you that the shepherd also lives by his sheep. You show me a shepherd in the Old Testament that did not live off the substance of the sheep. When he got hungry, if he had to, he'd milk one and make a little butter and eat a little butter from that sheep. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the Lord lives of His people, and the Lord lives through His people. And the only Lord that this world out here will ever see, the only shepherd that this world will ever see, ladies and gentlemen, is as He lives through His people. Somebody say amen right there. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And we live by Him, not by our own power. But He lives also through you and I, ladies and gentlemen. And lives of us. Oh, shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Israel like a flock. Amen. The Lord leads you and I. Amen. The letter on Lord, I read that letter on Lordship Salvation. Now, he said about his people in John 15:15, that they are friends. He's got a close relationship and is associated with us. He said in John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you my friends. I'm glad, thank God, that as our shepherd, he has got a close association with the people of God. I intend that ought to make all of us in here this morning stand up and do a double backflip to know that the Lord of glory, the Creator of all things that exist, He that was before anything was and is, ladies and gentlemen, He is not ashamed to be called our brother. He is not ashamed to associate Himself with prostitutes converted by the grace of God. He is not ashamed to associate Himself with drunks that have been regenerated. He's not ashamed to associate Himself with thieves that have gotten saved. He's not ashamed to associate Himself with vile, wretched, wicked men and women depraved in their sins and without God, and yet He is a friend of sinners and publicans. Thanks be unto Him. I want to ask something this morning. Are you following this morning? He's your friend. And He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend that will love you at all times. He'll be your friend when all your friends are gone. When those you thought were friendly to you, that friend that is your shepherd will be right there, yet leading you like a flock beside the still waters, making you lay down in green pastures, feeding your soul from the Word of God and blessing you for all eternity. What a God that we have. Hallelujah. Now, the shepherd work of our Lord's, and I'll get to my message in a minute, are three aspects. Number one, as the good shepherd, He gives His life. As the good shepherd, He gives His life for the sheep. Amen. Said in John 10:15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Thanks be unto God. As the good shepherd, He has laid down His life for you. If you don't get anything else I say today, get a hold of this. He that delivered up His own Son, He that delivered up His own Son, and spared not His own Son, how shall He not by Him also freely, ladies and gentlemen, give you all things? It stands to reason. If Christ paid the ultimate price and gave His life and freely laid it down, amen, that He shall also freely give you and I all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, what are you lacking this morning? Well, Brother Hall, I don't have this or that. Are you following Him? Are you in the footsteps? Are you close at hand? Are you following Him this morning? I want to say secondly, He's a great shepherd that was brought again from the dead to care for and make perfect the sheep. Thank God He is feeding His sheep, ladies and gentlemen, and perfecting us. And three, He is the chief shepherd who is coming back in glory to reward His sheep. But here in Psalm 80, it says He leads His sheep. Amen. Thou that ledest Israel like a flock. I want to say before I start in this, if you're following Him, He may lead you into some places you don't really care for. I've got to conclude that He led Israel into captivity. May I remind you, while they were there, three Hebrew boys found themselves in a furnace. Daniel found himself in a lion's den, or a den of lions, we want to say, is what the Bible said.
during the same time Jeremiah was found in a pit.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
David was exiled at one time from his own beloved city.
Amen.
Do you think God wasn't leading David when he fled up over the hills of the Mount of Olives barefoot and on a mule's back with Absalom hot on his heels?
Yeah.
You think God wasn't leading David
Amen.
When he went down to that little cave of Adullam and found himself hiding out in there from a man that pursued after him and would love to have taken his life? What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, there's some bitter herbs along the way, and you might as well settle in your heart that the footsteps of Jesus don't always lead you among the roses. Let your heart every now and then, there's a thorn patch or two you're going to have to go through, but if you follow the Lord, I'll guarantee you He'll make a path through the thorn patches just like He did through the Red Sea and bring you out of it on the other side. Hallelujah. Some of you this morning are not willing to follow Him where He's led you. And I'll tell you, balking on that leadership is worse, ladies and gentlemen, by far than the pathway that will lead you through the problem you're having. I told you a few weeks ago I wasn't going to let up, so some of you got right and I'm not. Come on in the house. Now listen carefully. Some are called to follow specific instructions.
Yes.
In Matthew 4, 18 and 19, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.
Yes.
And the Bible said, and straightway they followed Him. There was not a question in their mind, ladies and gentlemen, what God wanted. He said, just follow Me, and here is the assignment you have. I will make you to become fishers of men. I won't say this this morning. I don't use the term soul winning much, but I want to use it this morning. Not everybody that God saves is a soul winner. Not everybody God saves are able to fish like everybody else.
Amen.
I mean, some of you fellas in here, Brother Billy, Brother Ricky, Brother Steve, Brother Robert back there, they know how to land a trout or the bass. I'm going to tell you, I couldn't pull in a tadpole. I don't know how to cut down a sassafras. All I can do is take a little sassafras and cut it down, tie a piece of snare cord around it and fix a hook on the end, throw it out in the factory pond back in Indiana. Maybe put a worm on it. That's about all I knew. But these guys know how to get them flies out there and get that big bass. They know where the big ones like to hide. They know where the big ones are feeding. They know where the big ones are spawning. They know everything there is to know about fishing. Now I'm telling you, don't get the idea that everybody is a soul winner. He didn't tell that to Matthew, but He did say to Peter and Andrew, follow Me, and here's what I want you to do. If you will follow in My footsteps, I will make you to become fishers of men. You're not fishers of men now. You're still out in the sea, but if you will follow Me, I will make you to become fishers of men. I wonder if we got anybody this morning that would like to follow Him from your worldly fishing nets.
Amen.
Out into the sea of life.
Yep.
And become a fisher for men.
Amen.
Bait your hook.
Yep.
Get the right kind of a lure.
Yep.
Throw it in the right place in the water. And trust God to help you land.
Yep.
Of some fish that God can bless and save and deliver from the world of sin, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And make them a child of God.
Yep.
Now to them, God gave them specific instructions. Stay right with me. I ain't got to the message yet. God gave them specific instruction. And some who must trust more fully are simply called on to follow. I'm telling you, this is good. You're dead, but this is good, and it'll help you if you'll get it. In Matthew 9:9, Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me.
Yep.
And he arose and followed him. He didn't say, Matthew, I want you to be a fisher of men. He didn't say, Matthew, if you follow me, you're headed into the storms of life. If you follow me, there's affliction that will abide. If you follow me, hard times are going to follow you. If you follow me, trouble is sure to come in your path. And by the way, Matthew did not question him as to where he would lead him. He just said, follow me. And Matthew arose, ladies and gentlemen, and followed him by faith, trusting God, that he knew what was best for his life.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows what's best for your life.
Amen.
Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. God does lead His dear children along. You can mark that down. And you don't always have to know where God's leading you.
Amen.
Poor old brother Job said, I looked up ahead and couldn't find him. Behind me, he wasn't there. Right hand, left hand, couldn't find him. And said, I did not know where I was going. But said, there's one thing about it. He knows the way that I take.
Amen.
I don't say to you, it don't much matter about whether you know where He's at as long as He knows where you're at.
Amen.
Amen. If you know you're saved in the grace of God, you don't always have to know everything that God's leading you through.
Amen.
Just rejoice in it and follow the leader, ladies and gentlemen, as He leads you
Amen.
Through the circumstances of life.
Yes.
He may lead some of you through death in the family.
Amen.
He may lead some of you through depression.
Yes.
He may lead some of you through distress.
Amen.
Calamities that you don't like. Go back and look at David's life, and he was a man after God's own heart, but God led David through more troubles than any man I've ever read about in all the Word of God. But God never deserted him one time. In it. Hallelujah. And I want to say some are called to walk through a great fight of afflictions. 1 Peter 2:21, Brother Peter said, for even unto this were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. I want to ask you something. Are you following Him through suffering? There's mental suffering. There's physical suffering. There's soul suffering. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, God's Son walked through all three of them. And if He walked through that suffering, you and I ought to expect the same in this life. He was rejected of men. He was despised of men. And today, if we're not friends with the world and friends with the worldly, we think there's a problem with them. There ain't nothing wrong with them. The problem is with you. I'm going to tell you what James said, a man that's a friend of the world, or John said, a man's a friend of the world. Ain't no friend of God. Come on, somebody say amen and help me a little bit. Y'all act like you're sedated. Did y'all take a morphine pump shot before you come to church today? Is the whole church on tranquilizer? Have you been busted by a stun gun? Come on in the house, folks. God leads His dear children along. And sometimes it's through the bitter trials of life. Sometimes they're suffering. Sometimes God will allow, oh, and this charismatic crowd makes me sick. This health and wealth crowd. That if you're in the will of God and doing the will of God and praying to God, that He'll never let you suffer any poverty. He'll never let you suffer sickness. He'll always, ladies and gentlemen, prosper you in worldly things and prosper your body physically. I'm going to tell you there's only one thing wrong with that. It's a lie of the pit of hell.
Amen.
Lazarus was both poor and sick. But I remind you that when God called for him, the angels came and escorted him into heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Don't tell me that he missed God's will. When God struck Job and deprived him of his family and his wealth,
and all of his friends. You're going to tell me that that wasn't in the will of God? I'm going to tell you what Job said. Job said he hung me out and shook me like he would shake a throw rug.
Amen.
And after he shook me out, he set me up as an example. I'm going to tell you what somebody in this church is looking for. Somebody in this church is looking for some of you people that's dead in the mouth and out of it, and don't have an ounce of victory in your heart, to watch God deliver you out of that. You may be shocked at the example you could be to somebody else later on down the road.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to get anybody else clean laying in the mud puddle.
Amen.
Amen, friend. Come on out of the mud puddle. Let God lead you out of it. If God led you in it, I'll guarantee you it's got an exit door on the other side God will lead you out of. And God, like Job, will set you up as an example, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I'm not going to let you off the hook. I'm going to keep hammering it to one or two things. You get right or vote me out. Are you listening? And then some may follow afar off. Then took they him and led him. Let's talk about Jesus in the garden. I want everybody to get a hold of this. I've never seen this before in my life. But here is he that leadeth Israel like a flock. And when that bunch of Pharisees come to him, oh, we talk about Pharisees. The only sign of a Pharisee is outward dress and outward standard, outward apparel. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That crowd of Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites came to the garden to get the Lord. And you know what it says about them? They led him.
Amen.
Read that in your Bible. They led him.
Yeah.
He that leads Israel like a flock is now being led by a bunch of blind idiots.
Amen.
I'm going to say that we're no better.
Amen.
If we take Him by the hand and say, Lord, this is the way I want to go through life.
Yeah.
I know the way, Lord. I'll find the way. I'll grope in the darkness till I come out where there's light. You'll grope in the darkness and forever be consumed with that darkness. You better get on the other end of the stick, ladies and gentlemen, and let He that led Israel lead you as well.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I know that's right.
Amen.
Thank God they groped in darkness around Lot's house when they were struck with blindness. You can't find the door apart from His light. Sinners will never find the door without the light of the gospel shining on them. Now I'm telling you, that same light that lit up your heart will illuminate the way, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants you to go in this life. Are you willing to turn loose and follow Him in the way? Or are you still going to seek counsel in your own heart?
Amen.
And follow Him in your and try to lead Him rather than Him leading you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what He said. And by the way, some of you in here listen to somebody else rather than listening to God. And if the blind be leaders of the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Blind people don't lead blind people unless your name's Richard Adams. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all don't know Rich, but we do. That man helped me unload a piano off a U-Haul truck and told me, now here's this. I said, well, if you're bound determined to do it, Brother Adams, I said, you get up here on the back end of it and I'll take her down on the front end. He said, no. He said, I'm better leading than I am following. I said, you're blind, bud. He said, I can do it. Well, he did it. But I'm going to tell you, we was up on a rooftop. Now, look here, you might make it all right for a while. Rich made it all right on that piano. But we got up on top of a building one day, roofing that building, and there's Rich up there blind. I said, Rich, get down, man, you're blind. He said, Brother Hall, don't worry about me, I'm all right. I said, Brother Rich, be careful, I'm fine, he said. Blind now, I'm talking about blind from birth. I'm all right, Brother Hall. Oh, he had made it on the piano deal. But he's walking around. I said, Brother Rich, you're getting awful close to the edge. Don't get so close to it. Oh, Brother Hall, I know where I'm at. Boop. You might make her for a while leading him. But I'm going to tell you, after a while, you're going to fall off the roof, ladies and gentlemen.
You might make her one time, but I'm going to say there'll come a time when you can't make it. Thank God the Lord is my shepherd, and he leadeth Israel like a flock. And if he led Israel like a flock, he'll lead a bunch of Gentile dogs that's been saved by the grace of God.
Amen. Now, some of you may be following afar off. Luke 22:54. Then took they him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. I'll follow you, Lord, but I don't want to get too close. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college. Man, I'm telling you, I was wanting to go to Tucson, Arizona, and I was caught betwixt and between. Didn't know what to do. Wanted to go and didn't want to go, and really wasn't sold out on it because I wanted to go to Switzerland too, and I didn't, and I just couldn't get my mind made up. And I started praying, Lord, show me something. I don't know the way that I need to take. Lord, lead me in the right direction. And Psalm 32:8, one night I was reading that psalm, and I'm telling you, it jumped out all over that book at me in my heart. And that verse 8 said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now I'm telling you, he's had his eye on the sparrow, but thank God he's got his eye on you and I. Now I'm telling you, you've got to draw it close to him if you're going to be led by his eye, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, that's impossible. No, it ain't. I've come in the house before, Miss Jennifer, when my daddy was in his prime, and I'd come in a little rowdy, and Mom would say, son, he'd sit down and hush. And I'd keep on being rowdy, and all at once my daddy would say, son. And he'd just go, that's all he had to do with it. When he dropped them eyebrows, I knew, buddy, it is Ziploc time. It's time to shut the old trap and sit down. Pop didn't have to say another word. Why? He could get a message across to me with his eyes. I'm telling you, God said, I'll instruct thee and teach thee the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll get up close to God, God can direct your path by his eyes. He'll direct you whether to go, stop, right, left. Oh, yes. Hallelujah to God. He'll lead you. But he can't do that if you're following afar off.
Right.
Need to get up close to him. I remember years ago I was going through a problem, first going to Pastor over at Rumsey. Now I'm telling you, there's a trying to run me off. It was World War III. And I asked Brother Nolan, I said, what should I do? And he said, you need to draw up as close to the heart of God as you can get, and God will speak to you. And I thought, my soul, what does he mean drawing up as close? I mean, I am about as close as I can get. What he was talking, Brother Andy, was to get up just a little closer, nudge in there in that Bible and pray a little more. Read a little more of that Bible. Seek the face of God. Ask God for God's will. Now, I'm telling you, wisdom. And I was sitting there at the house one day praying that and reading that. And he took me over. I was reading over in the book of 3 John. And he said, Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. And I said, oh God, there he is. I've got a Diotrephes in the house of God. And I wasn't wrong, I'm telling you. I grew up close to the heart of God. And God, ladies and gentlemen, like the shepherd that he is, led me through that problem. Hallelujah to God. And it was not 5 minutes till Diotrephes knocked on my door. And he said, I just come by to tell you, here's the checkbook and everything, we're leaving. And I didn't say, I said, thank you in my mind. I said, thank you, Mr. Diotrephes. God will do it. He, O shepherd of Israel, that led us, your people, like a flock, that led us, Jacob, like a flock, God that led them. Oh, yes, the same Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, will lead you and I today. Where he leads me, I will follow. Now, notice this. Some he leads in specific instructions. Some are just called to follow. Some walk through great afflictions. Some follow far off. But I want to say this and get a hold of what I'm saying. If you don't get a hold of nothing else, all sheep will follow.
Amen.
Am I getting through to anybody today? I feel like it's as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning.
all sheep will follow. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Yeah.
Now I'm here to tell you, if you're not following, you're not a sheep.
Yeah.
You may ought to lift up your hair and check. They may be billy goat horns growing out of your head, ladies and gentlemen. Because I tell you, all sheep know His voice, and they follow Him.
Yeah.
I read in a book one time where that in the sheepfold they have manifold flocks. Several flocks of sheep. And they said in the morning, those shepherds will walk up on top of a hill outside of that sheepfold.
Yes,
and the porter will open the door.
Yep.
And when he opens the door, each one of those shepherds, ever how many they are, will start calling, "Woo! Woo!" And amazingly, every flock will assemble themselves right exactly around their shepherd. They're in process of headed, ladies and gentlemen, up on the grazing land. And out of maybe 10 shepherds, those sheep know exactly who their shepherd is. Now I'm telling you, another will they not follow. A hireling will they not follow. My sheep know my voice. And they follow me.
Right.
And here's a blessedness. And I give unto them eternal life.
Yes.
Woo! And they shall never perish.
Yes.
And neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Yes.
Come on in the house now.
Yes.
Praise God. Somebody help me. You're making me earn my living today.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. He leads them out. John 10:3 said He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. What's He led you out from? I ain't got to the message yet. He led me out of sin. He led me out of the world. He led me out of death and destruction. And I'm telling you, I'd be a fool to turn around and go back into something that God had already led me out of, that was about to consume my life and cast my soul into eternal hell. I'd be a fool to go back. He led me out. But after He led me out, He led me in. I am the door by me. If any man shall enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. He led me out, but He led me in. What? As my shepherd, ladies and gentlemen. He led me out of sin, but He led me into that glorious life of the children of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to help somebody. I don't know if I'm making a grade or not. Now, I want to say this and I'll be done in just a minute. There's three places I believe that God leads all sheep. I want everybody to listen to me here, please. Where spirit is about where it's at generally. I want everybody to pick up your shoes and feet and look under your feet and see if your spirit's laying down there under your soul. You know what they say about them food stamps? Where you can hide them. A lot of people can't find them if you hide them under their work boots. The reason some of y'all can't find your spirit, it's under your feet and you're walking on it.
Amen.
And the only thing you're doing by walking on it is doing more damage to you.
Amen.
My feet hurt nobody but me.
Amen.
Believe you me, they hurt. They sting and they burn. I guarantee you, my feet's not hurting you, are they, Brother Billy? No. But I'm telling you, my little toesy woesies hurt me. My heels hurt me. And I'm telling you, when you walk on yourself, and some of you are walking on yourself, of past experiences that you cannot change in the will of God. So why don't you forget about it and go on and serve God and quit walking on yourself all the time and follow God.
Amen!
Forget the past. It's gone. It's gone. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." And reaching to those things which are before me.
Amen.
Forget about them. Quit killing yourself and beating yourself up with the past. Somebody told me just the other day, said, Brother Hall, if this church knew what I did in my past life, they'd never have anything at all to do with me. And I thought in my own heart, if you only knew what I know that this church has done in their past life, that they've testified of and talked about.
Amen.
May I just try to quote one verse? We have all, A-double-L. And I'm going to tell you what that word Greek means, what that word all means in the Greek. It means all.
Amen.
For we have all had our conversation.
Yes, sir.
In the world, in times past.
Amen.
There ain't a one of us in here that's saved by the grace of God, Miss Sandy, that couldn't get up and say, been there, done that, and got a T-shirt about it. But I'm not going to, Brother Billy, get down and wall in it. I'm not going to wall in the fact that I was out. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that He brought me out. Hallelujah to God. Woo! I won't try to forget that filthy mess back there. Now, we got any rock throwers in here today? Brother Troy, run outside out there real quick and get a bucket of rocks. And we'll let this crowd kill each other. I never seen so many Baptists trying to kill one another. Now, it's one thing to be brought out of that past and still living in it. It's another thing to be brought out of it and be striving to live holy. I ain't got much use for that crowd that's still cussing and drinking. Running around on their wives.
That's right.
And talking about God saving them. We've got Baptist preachers to do that.
Lord have mercy now.
Now I might have to preach, Brother Robert, against that a little bit. But I'm going to tell you that crowd that used to be.
Right.
Remember several years ago I preached out of chapter 2 of Ephesians 2 and I preached on used to be's. We're used to be's. I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. I'm not the man that I used to be. And I'm not going back into that mess. Neither am I going to let that mess aggravate, torment my mind. Praise God, it's gone. It is gone. Amen, friend. Something like that. Hallelujah. Now there's three places I believe God will lead us all. That boy looks like a preacher back there today. I'm talking about little Rick. That boy. There's a preacher sleeping. That didn't come into me. One day I walked up and said, look, Pop, I put on my best clothes. Amen. Well, I finally got to the message and it's almost 1 o'clock. I'll get it quick. We'll go to the house. I want to be done by now, but I'm not. When y'all make me run slow, I'm going to cover every base. So you just, if you'll speed up, I'll speed up. Now listen carefully. Three places that God's going to lead every one of you in this room this morning. May I say, number one, He'll lead every one of you to Gethsemane.
Amen.
If you're a sheep, study that four Gospels on Gethsemane, because it's sure. As you're saved by the grace of God, every sheep has got to get Gethsemane in life.
Yeah.
Not one shall escape it.
Amen.
Not one. Listen what the Bible said in Luke 22:39. And He came out and went as He wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him.
Amen.
Can I ask you this morning, you've been to Gethsemane? Have you been in such agony in prayer that your sweat has become as great drops of blood? Have you agonized over your life and over your future? I'm telling you that God Almighty, no ifs, ands, buts about it, they all followed Him. Where to Gethsemane? Oh, Brother Billy. They followed him there on a full stomach and joy in their heart because they just had communion and a meal, and they went out and sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Son, he led them there rejoicing in their heart. I'm telling you, you're going to have to get up if you ever want to get out. God will not let you get over what you got that's troubling you. Hey, until you get over what you got. Somebody said, preacher, that's a myth. No, it's not. God will not let you get over what you've got until you get over what you've got.
Amen.
If you get over the valley grubs, work at it, pray and seek God at it. Whatever has got you in the mully grubs, God will get you over it.
Amen. Yeah.
But He won't get you over what's got you there until you get over the fact that you're there.
Amen.
Come on in. I want to mention these things. What was Gethsemane? May I say it was a place of preparation.
Amen.
It prepared the Lord for His final hours and His conquest over sin. That's my thought. I didn't get that out of a book. But it was a place of preparation.
Amen.
You realize that a few hours away, He was going to be spit upon.
Amen.
He was going to be reviled and rejected and mocked. Just a few hours away, He was going to have the hair from His face plucked out. A few hours away, He was going to be crowned with thorns. Just a few hours away, that all men was going to reject Him and flee. Just a few hours away.
Amen.
Just a few hours away, He was going to Calvary. Just a few hours away, the sin of the world was going to be laid upon Him. Now I'm telling you, that Gethsemane, when He prayed and His sweat became as great drops of blood, and He cried this prayer, Lord, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. I'm telling you, God in holy agony of His soul was preparing the Lord Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, for the days that lay ahead. And the reason some of you are not weathering the storm that you're in right now because you didn't pay a lick of attention to what I preached to you years ago out of the book of Psalms. I'm telling you, I labored storms and I labored trials and I labored calamities.
Amen.
It didn't soak in on you. God tried to prepare you for today.
That's
back
right.
Then.
That's right. Amen.
And you didn't make it because you didn't listen. And I'm telling you, if some of you don't listen, you ain't going to make it for what He's got for you up there either.
Amen. Amen.
Come on in the house. It's preaching time. You know I'm telling you the truth. I had one man to tell me some time ago. Said, Brother Hall, back some years ago when you was preaching this, he said, honestly, I didn't believe anything you were saying. But he said, now I believe it. May I say, too late!
Right.
Because there's a reaping, ladies and gentlemen, of what's been sowed, and we're not going to get out of it.
Right.
Oh, it would benefit you greatly to find you an altar of prayer and let God prepare you for what's ahead in this life. May I say, He knows the future, and you're blind to the future. But He that leadeth Israel like a flock will also lead you when the time comes. God's grace will be sufficient for you. Anybody listening to me, I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm giving you my heart the best way I can. I'm trying to give you my heart this morning. I'm telling you, those hours in Gethsemane prepared our Lord for the final hours of His life. For the bitterness of soul that he would experience, even down to the point of being forsaken by God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't want to say much about that because I've got a point I want to make on that in a little while. May I say that it's not only Gethsemane is a place of preparation, it's a place of temptation. Everybody come in here, boys and girls. He said in verse 40 of Luke 22, He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. What do you think he was? Do you think he wasn't tempted in his humanity? When he said, Father, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done.
Yes.
Do you think that in his humanity that he was not dreading the thought of being made sin? and the pain in his hands, his head, his face, his feet. The sword in the side, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Sure he was. And I'm going to tell you, in all, he's been in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin.
Amen.
Don't you think the devil didn't crawl up on his shoulder and said, "Why don't you quit?
Right. Amen.
Yep. They're not worth it."
Yeah.
And I've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. Want everybody to look up here, especially you men. I'm going to tell you what the devil will tell you. When you and your family has a little riff and you and your wife has a little riff, the devil will jump right up there and say, "Why don't you quit? They're not worth it."
Amen.
Oh, Brother Hall, he won't tell me that I'm in love with my wife. You'll see that the more you love her, the more he'll tempt you.
Amen.
Get ready. It ain't going to get any easier.
Amen.
Some of you need to find a garden experience to overcome the temptation. Now, here it is. He'll tempt some of you. He'll tempt some of you to turn back. He'll tempt some of you to draw back. He'll tempt some of you to fail in the responsibilities given you. It could say that Gethsemane, that the Gethsemane he leads you into as a shepherd of your soul, will become a crossroad in your life. Father, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me, then let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, thine be done.
Yeah.
I wonder if we got enough grace to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but thine be done."
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what some of us will say. "Oh, Father, if it be thy will for me just to back off and ease out, find a place where I'm not challenged to live right and be faithful to the house of God. If it be thy will, oh God." Thank you, Lord. I knew it was before I ever prayed. I'm telling you, the garden is a place that to overcome that temptation that will tempt you to quit on God. Draw back. Lay down. Stop. Don't do anything. And some of you have been duped by the devil when you got there. Benny skinned you men alive in Sunday school.
Amen.
And I say,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Camp meeting's a joint-wide, church-wide responsibility.
Amen.
I wonder how many men did not volunteer to do one thing for the meeting in that room in there. Who tempted you? I mean, let's just be honest. You didn't come by that honestly seeking God's will. I didn't fall off a load of pumpkins out there on my head, buddy. Especially when God said He gave some evangelists, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. Some of you in here today is at a crossroad.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, if you don't find your Gethsemane,
yeah,
you're headed for disaster.
Amen.
I can tell you that because I know. Come on in the house.
Amen.
It's a place of preparation. It's a place of temptation. May I say, it's a place of consolation. Don't nobody leave this now. I'm helping myself. Praise God, I might not do it. Thank you, but I'm helping me. When the Lord got done praying, Brother Troy, you're smiling. I'll come over here to where you're at.
Yeah.
When the Lord got done praying, and He said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done." You know what the next verse said? "And there appeared angels."
Yeah.
Strengthening him.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm telling you, that garden that he entered into with a low found help and consolation from above, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Amen.
Burdens were lifted. Anybody get a hold of that?
Yes.
He went there heavy, but he come out ready to go.
Amen.
And charged Gabbatha and Golgotha like a good soldier of the cross.
Amen. Amen.
And he took up his cross and made a way for you and I.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah! I'm about to get out into another world this morning.
Yes, sir.
You see, the reason some of you are carrying them loads you got, you've never found your Gethsemane. That is a song that I believe the Sugar Grove Singers sang, something about Gethsemane. Lord, give us a vision. I believe there's something about a Gethsemane in there. Anybody listening? The angels came and strengthened him. You want help?
Amen.
Let the shepherd that led Israel like a flock lead you to Gethsemane.
Yes, sir.
You'll find your burden will be rolled away.
Amen.
Brother Jerome, my blood pressure is so low right now, every time I get high, I about pass out. Now, I went up there to the hospital the other day to get my medicine for my arthritis. And they said, now, Mr. Hall said, lay down on this bed, please. Turn the lights out. We want you to imagine that you're by the ocean watching the waves roll in. I said, Doc, what's wrong? He said, your blood pressure is sky high. You need to get on more blood pressure medicine. What he didn't know is I just left in there, was in paperwork, plumb to my eyeballs, wondering what paper to sign next, and did I have the right one signed in the right package going to the right place? I said, Doc, if you'd just come through what I come through, you're thinking blood pressure would be high too. I'm not lying. They said, now, I promise we'll let you leave here, but you've got to promise us when you get home, you'll call your doctor and tell him you have got high blood pressure problems and he needs to get you on more medicine. I said to myself, that's the last thinking thing I need is a bunch more of that dope.
Amen.
I take it. But I've got enough sense to know when I'm preaching like I am this morning, she bottoms out. There ain't enough air in the old noodle and I get a little thin. God help me if I took more of that lisinopril. I took it last night sitting at the house. You know what it was? Is everybody listening? 99 over 61. You think I need more blood pressure medicine?
No.
I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I've found my Gethsemane.
Yes.
And I've rolled her on him. I ain't no need to both of us win. Let him work for the both of us. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, ain't that right rag, man? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a consolation. May I say, not only he'll lead everybody to Gethsemane, you know where his next stop was, church? Gabbatha. The judgment hall.
Amen.
Pilate's place.
Yeah.
Guilty, the Jews cry.
Amen.
I find no fault in him, Pilate said. Crucify him, the Jews say.
Yes.
Gabbatha was a place of examination. I want you to listen carefully. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. They questioned him, they humiliated him, they scourged him, and they rejected him. But the conclusion was, what think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death.
Amen.
And although Pilate said, I find no fault in him, that bunch of Jews said, crucify him!
Yes.
Crucify him! Everybody look right up here. When was the last time you examined yourself to see whether you're in the faith?
Amen.
When was the last time you examined yourself? And it's not easy. Do you know how they examined him? Through questions and through scourging.
Amen.
Through the scourging was a way of really interrogating someone back then, of examining them. They were going to scourge Paul by examining him, by scourging him. Somebody said, oh, I don't like it. Who does like having their hide tanned?
Right.
Amen. When's the last time Brother Robert thumped you right good, Brother Steve?
Huh?
Been a while, but did he ever do it? If he didn't, I'm over and talk to him right now. When's the last time Mama got you? But she got you, didn't you? Do you know why? It's been a while. Can I tell you why? Somebody said, oh, he grew up. Yeah, we can say that. I don't find no problem with the fact that he grew up. But what grew him up? I'm going to tell you what grew him up was the fact that if he didn't grow up, he'd go right back in that bedroom right behind that woodshed again. Learned well. And I'm going to tell you what he done when he said, I think I'll just get one over on the old man. Something popped up in his mind and said, you better remember that old man packed a pretty good switch, bud. Pop knows how to examine the boys. I'm telling you, God knows how to examine his sheep. But it's a whole lot better off to examine yourself, is what Brother Paul said. So it's a place of examination. Now I want you to look here. Do you know if you examine yourself at Gabbatha, what your answer is going to be? I'm telling you what you're thinking. My answer is that Jesus took all mine for me. Wrong. My answer is guilty. Come on in the house, boys and girls. You know why Jesus died? Guilty! Because he bore your sin guilty of all charges leveled against him. And if you think he's going to Pilate's judgment hall and be found guilty and let us off the hook, you are dumber than a box of rocks. Guilty! And I'm going to tell you why some of us having the problems we're having, we have failed. That's why it said in when you take communion, examine yourself.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm going to tell you why some of us are having the problem we're having. We've examined ourselves and seen our sin, and we're afraid to tell God we're guilty. As Brother Thompson would say, most of the time when I get in Gabbatha, I've got to come to the conclusion, Lord, I'm guilty of that. Now, Lord, you know I never would lose my temper. Guilty. Brother Johnny Jones' own son stood up in the Friday night meeting at Brother Jones. Said, Pastor, I gotta get right with the church. He said, some of you men has been coming up there and helping me remodel this old home that we bought, and we moved back from Brother Allen's down in Resaca. Said, you've been coming up there and helping me. And he said, I got to confess that I've really lost my temper several times. And said, Dad, especially, I want to apologize to you as my pastor. Said, I've even mouthed off and run my mouth to you. He said, I'm guilty. Amen. You know what the church said? Forgiven. Christ was guilty, but it sure wasn't forgiven of that crowd. They crucified him.
Right.
But if we'll examine ourselves and find ourselves guilty, our judge advocate will run to the Father and plead our case, and the Father will say, pardon.
Amen.
Guilty, yes, but pardoned.
Amen.
Yes. I hope I'm getting through to somebody.
Yep.
Now, you know the third place he's going to lead you before we ever get there. He'll lead you to Gethsemane. He'll lead you to Gabbatha. But he'll also lead you to Golgotha.
Amen.
You ever been there?
Yep.
Well, I was there when I got saved, Brother Hall. Where are you now?
Amen.
I want you to get a hold of this. John 19:17, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha.
Amen.
Carrying his cross.
Right.
Except you take up your cross daily and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. I want to ask you something. Come on. You know what Golgotha was? Come on in the house. It was first of all a place of suffering. That's why I didn't want to say much about suffering a while ago. And I think about our darling Lord. How He suffered inwardly and outwardly. He was bruised for our iniquities. Crucified among thieves. They rejected Him, spit in His face. Reviled Him, pierced His side, pierced His hands, pierced His feet. Oh, you're talking about even the Father turned His head while the Son died, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm here to tell you that Paul said that we are to fill up His suffering, which is the church, which is His body. The head suffers no more, but if you think you're going to get through this life without suffering, you are dumb.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you is there right now.
Yeah.
Inwardly, your heart is broken.
Yeah.
And inwardly, you're full of pain and full of misery and full of woe. Your suffering seems to be more than you can bear. Well, may I say that in the will of God, He has led you there.
Yeah.
And just like God ripped a veil in twain and made a way, ladies and gentlemen, then. He'll make a way for you now.
Amen.
He suffered once, but He suffers no more.
Amen.
May I say that in your Christian experience, there may be more than one Gethsemane, there may be more than one Golgotha, but there'll never be more than one. I mean, more than one Yabatha, but there'll never be more than one Golgotha.
Amen.
Have you died? For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, said Paul. Are you dead today?
Yes.
Have you suffered unto death? You see, we're so filled up with pride and what we want. When we're filled up with pride and everything that we want, that tells me we've never died to self.
Amen.
Come on in the house, please. I'm trying to pour out my heart to us.
Amen.
Suffering. Look at Him. Suffering at the hands of sinners. Suffering at the hands of His own people.
Amen.
Suffering at the hands of the religious crowd.
Amen.
And yet He looked up into heaven and said, Father, forgive that crowd. For they know not what they're doing.
Amen.
They don't know what they do. I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying right now on this point. You don't get nothing else. Golgotha is not only a place of suffering, it's a place of separation.
Amen.
From the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the earth or over the land.
Amen.
And in the night, is it the ninth to the sixth hour? Ninth to the
sixth to the ninth hour.
And in the ninth hour, He lifted up His face into heaven, cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Let me ask you something this morning. Anybody in here feel like God's left you? Come on in the house, boys and girls. Feel forsaken?
Amen.
Maybe God, the great shepherd of Israel that led Jacob like a flock, has led you to Gethsemane and led you to Gabbatha, and now He's brought you to Golgotha. And He's departed from you there.
Amen.
To let you experience a little bit of what His Son experienced when He died.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the liberals and these Spirit-filled independent Baptist preachers would never agree with me on that thought. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, He departed from Job and He departed from His bride in Song of Solomon. And He departed from them in the Gospels at least once. And I'm here to tell you He'll depart from you today. When He leaves your carcass at Golgotha to try you and prove you,
Amen. Find
out what you're made out of. I'm saying that this trip's not an easy trip all the way.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, He leads all, everybody to Golgotha, yeah, to suffer, to separate them. When was the last time you had fellowship with Christ? Oh, somebody said, brother, oh, it's been a long time since me and Him fellowship together. Maybe it's because He has withdrawn Himself and departed from you. So you will understand how His own Son felt.
Amen.
Anybody here ever really felt how Jesus felt when He was, when His own Father withdrew from Him? When God leads you that way, ladies and gentlemen, He's trying to do something wonderful for you. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be wonderful? Within just a few short moments, after that cry, my God, why thou forsaken me? He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, He went from sovereign into the realms of glory. Now I'm here to tell you, make her through Gethsemane and make her through Gabbatha and make her through Golgotha. And the next place He's going to lead you is in the glory. Woo! I didn't even have that one down. Hallelujah to God.
Amen. Yeah.
I didn't even have that one down.
Amen.
Remind me to put that in my notes when I'm done.
Amen.
So it's a place of suffering and a place of separation. Now I'm closing right here. It's a place that sin is conquered.
Amen.
I believe He whooped it right there, Miss Angie. And if you want to whoop your sin, go to the cross. Go to Mount Calvary. Go to Golgotha. Don't shrink from it. Don't pull back and draw back from it. Oh, and I'm telling you, the flesh is prone to pull back from pain and misery. Joy! Joy cometh in the morning! Hallelujah to God! And oh, 3 days later, He got up out of the grave with victory over sin and death and hell and the grave. And I want to say to you, I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe in sinless perfection, but there may very well come what Peter called the trial of your faith. Not a trial, the trial. That one last trial that will prove without a doubt in your mind that you're genuine Jerusalem steel. And you don't ever have to worry about having assurance that you're saved or assurance that God's leading you where you could walk through the fire with them Hebrew boys and come out on the other side waving a your hands up toward heaven and singing, victory in Jesus.
Yes.
Sit down in a den of lions and sit on that lion's head like a pussycat.
Yes.
And listen to Him purr. Are you listening?
Amen.
There will come a place in your Christian experience if you're following Him that there will be a conquering experience in your life. That without a doubt and any reservation, you know that you know that you know that He's got you by the hand and He's leading you through the deep waters. What did He say in Isaiah? Though the floods come into me, they shall not. The waters shall not overflow me.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Yep.
Thank God, let the devil roar.
Amen.
Let hell encamp round about the saints of God. I want to tell you why we can do that. Because as the angels are round about Jerusalem, Christ is round about His. And that fires are on the other side of Him. And praise God, they'll not consume us.
Amen. Amen.
I used to see a little old picture. Remember this? And I'm trying to close. I know what time it is. There used to be a little old picture in my mama's house. Do you remember it, Miss Hall? It showed that little boy and that little girl walking across that old rickety bridge over a great big chasm below.
and it showed an angel. That old rickety bridge had boards missing in it, and them little boy and girl was out there. And they were scared. They were full of fear. They was afraid to take another step, and it showed an angel of the Lord standing there by them. Thank God for angels.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you,
Amen.
Brother. Come on, Brother Cater, help me out. Run one with me, buddy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. It's great to have an angel, but I'm going to tell you it's much, much greater. Stay behind me, boy. You're the church. I can walk across that old rickety bridge. Cause be careful right there. There's a board missing. Step over that, son. That's a good boy. Now don't get too close to the edge. The rope's broke there.
Amen.
Thank God for angels. But thank God that He leads.
Yes,
the shepherd of Israel. He that leadeth Joseph, Jacob, like a flock.
Amen.
Who dwelleth among the cherubims. Here's a punchline. Shine forth. Why, Brother Hall? So you can follow Him in the way.
Amen.
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 Follow the leader. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha.
Amen.
Let's stand together.